My name's Amy. I'm Petal Rose's mum. Petal was born on the 28th of February 2015 at 23 plus 6 days.
Tell me how you and Mark met.
We met in the local hospital. I'm a nurse, Mark's a doctor, and we met in the A&E department. And we started our family 3 years later. We have a little boy called Buddy, who is four. A year after Buddy was born, we had a little boy called Matty, so he's three. Then we had our Petal Rose, who we lost in 2015. And last year, we had our rainbow baby, Daisy Petal, who was born in May.
Tell me what your attitude to starting a family was.
I always knew I wanted to be a mum. I wanted to get my career first and travel. And then I knew I wanted to start a family, late 20s, early 30s. And I was thrilled when I was pregnant with Buddy in 2012. And I just love being a mum to all my children. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And then since then, my career took a back seat, but I'm just enjoying being a mum to my boys and now my little girl.
Tell me about your pregnancy with Petal.
So I found out I was pregnant in 2014. And I remember thinking the first 3 months I was really, really sick. In hindsight now, I was poorly when I was pregnant with Petal, and just put it down to pregnancy hormones. I had experienced sickness with the boys when I was pregnant, but I was really tired. And possibly in the back of my mind, I thought I didn't feel this way when I was carrying the boys. So at the back of my mind, I thought maybe I'm having a girl and this is why I'm feeling so different. I went for my 12-week scan and everything was fine. Still wasn't feeling great. And went for my 20-week scan. Found out I was having a girl. And then just as the scan was finishing, the sonographer thought that we might have our dates mixed wrong because the baby was only showing 18 weeks gestation instead of 20 weeks. But me and Mark, we wasn't worried. Thinking, oh, you know, maybe the dates are a little bit mixed up. But then I did start to feel, to become anxious when there was a consultant that came into the ultrasound room, and they did an in-depth ultrasound of the baby. But they actually said that everything looks fine. The baby is showing to be smaller than we'd expect at 20 weeks. And I felt okay. But then she started mentioning tests that we could have, maybe we should have an amniocentesis to see whether there was anything wrong with the baby. And then from that moment on, I thought, I don't want to lose my baby. Something's wrong. Why are they saying this to us? And naively, I thought it was like professional courtesy because we're both in that profession. I thought, well, maybe they're just giving us a little bit of added information just to keep us in the picture, because we did have a little bit of knowledge. We opted against the amniocentesis, but we paid privately to have a Harmony blood test to see, just to not to harm the fetus, just to have the blood test just to see whether there was anything wrong. So I had that done at 22 weeks privately, and I was looking at the scan picture and everything seemed fine. And the blood test come back. It was an anxious 2 weeks waiting for the test. The blood test did come back that everything was fine with the baby and there was no notable problems, and we were referred to a placenta clinic where they were just going to keep an eye on my placenta to make sure that the baby was growing. And that's when my life changed, going for that scan. And that's when they scanned me and there was no heartbeat.
Can you tell me what happened next? How did they tell you?
A consultant did the scan and he straight away, "I'm sorry, there's no heartbeat." And I can't really remember. I remember a sound coming out of me that it was like an animal sound, and I couldn't believe it. And there was quite a few. It had to be confirmed by another doctor who came in, and then I spoke to the bereavement midwives, and then I had to be given some sort of medication. And I just remembered looking at Mark saying, our baby's died, our baby's died. And then we went home, and I just wanted to be with my boys. And we had to wait 48 hours before we went in for me to be induced to deliver. But I realised, because I was obviously only 20 weeks, that we hadn't bought anything. Not superstitiously, but I was so busy with two little boys. I wasn't thinking of the baby at that point, because I'd had two normal pregnancies and I knew you didn't need anything, you know, for a further 20 weeks. So I knew, we went for the scan on a Wednesday, and on the Thursday I had to go shopping to get things for Petal. And it was so sad being in shops looking for baby girls, blankets and things, knowing that I wouldn't, and that'd be what she's gonna wear when we deliver her and we can't take her home.
Do you remember anything else about those few days at home?
No, I didn't want to see anybody. And I just remember going to bed and waking up in the night thinking, is this a nightmare? And just sobbing, and trying to obviously put on a brave face for my two little boys. And there was only two and three at the time. They were babies themselves. And they wanted to know why mummy was sad. And it was just a hazy nightmare. And then obviously people knew I was pregnant. I'd got past the 12-week scan when everyone thinks everything's going to be fine. And even at the 20 weeks, because everyone knew I was pregnant. And then it was just, how do I explain this to people? It was really difficult. But family and friends were brilliant. But I just knew that I wanted to be on my own. Just to be on my own with my boys and Mark. That's then them 2 days before I went in.
Do you remember your feelings at that time?
Empty. Shock. I just couldn't believe that I didn't know, that I couldn't protect my baby. I didn't realise things were as bad as what they were. Guilt. I felt guilty for not looking after her, and for not knowing. I didn't feel angry then. I think that came later on. But at that time, I just felt guilty and shocked. And how am I going to go into a hospital and deliver a baby that's died? I don't want to see that. How am I going to do it? And I wanted as much medication so I wouldn't have to think about it. And I suppose I just went into autopilot and just did what I needed to do.
Do you remember what you were told about what would happen next?
Yeah. So I had the scan on a Wednesday when we discovered that she died. And we were told to come back on the following Friday, which was 48 hours later. And basically I was going to be induced, and it would take time. It wasn't going to happen quickly. We were in hospital like 24 hours. We were taken to a bereavement suite where it was really comfortable. It was like just a big double bed, a television, a little kitchen. And then I was given the medication. And basically, we just walked around the hospital waiting for it to kick in. And then when I started getting labour pains, we went into the delivery suite because I knew that I wanted a PCA, the patient controlled analgesia, because I want the pain. And I wasn't in physical pain, but I couldn't give birth without medication. I just couldn't do it. So that's what happened. When labour pain started around about 7-8 o'clock in the evening, and then I delivered her at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And did you meet her?
One of my biggest regrets, I literally delivered her, and it was just so silent in the room, and I just turned off. I was really sick because of the medication. I was being sick, and I just turned my back away. And Mark bathed her and dressed her and held her, because I couldn't do it. But yeah, we were offered everything. She was too small to have handprints and footprints, but Matt did take some pictures. But I just couldn't bring myself to hold her.
Were you offered a post-mortem or? Yeah.
We were offered a post-mortem, we took it, because I'd had two healthy pregnancies in the past, and I wanted to have another baby, and I wanted to know why this happened to our baby after having two healthy little boys, like what went wrong, and we felt that a post-mortem would help us, our like medical management for future pregnancies.
Can you tell me about the care of the staff during the labour, and talking to you about the post-mortem and the things that were to happen?
Yeah, the staff at the hospital were amazing, absolutely amazing. There was just one, it wasn't an incident, you know, these things happen every day. And when we went into the hospital, we were taken away from the delivery suite. So there was two bereavement suites, and so we were going to one room and the other room was occupied, and as I walked into our room there was a father coming out of another room with a coffin, and I just fell apart. I can't do this, I just can't do this. And the staff were just amazing with me. They were just so thoughtful, and they listened to me, and half the time I was just crying, but they were there. They couldn't do enough for us, for both of us, for Mark as well. And they really, you know, they explained what was going to happen, they explained what Petal was going to look like, so if we did want to hold her, we were prepared. And, you know, they explained that she can stay with us for a while, which she did, in a little Moses basket. And we were offered, like, a a blessing, which she had. Yeah, the staff were amazing. It made a really traumatic situation that they made it as easy for us as it could possibly be.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that time that you had with Petal?
I can't really remember. I was so sick after the medication, but before we had her, before I was induced, the bereavement midwife came around and she gave us a selection of clothes that Petal could have to wear, because obviously she was too small for baby girls and things. So we really took our time, because that was the only thing that we actually, apart from the things that we'd bought the day before, blankets and teddy and dolls and things for her, no clothes would fit her. So we had like a little selection of little knitted dresses, little gowns that a woman had made via a charity. Our midwife came in and it was really personal to be able to pick something that for Petal to wear. So when I delivered her, Mark dressed her, bathed her and then dressed her in a little purple pink gown with a hat and like little booty. It was a gown with little gloves and a hat.
How do you feel about that time now?
It was precious. It's all we have of her. It's like that. They're the only. That's the memory that I have of her. That feels really real. That she was really here, because the memories after that was at the funeral home and then a funeral. But in that room, in that delivery suite, she felt really real. I'm really part of, although she does, she'll always be part of us. It was lovely just to have that time, me, Mark and Petal. It was a really special time for us. And I'll cherish that, because that's all I have. And although it was really traumatic, it was really peaceful. And I knew she wasn't suffering. She wasn't suffering anymore.
You mentioned that Petal was born at 23 weeks and 6 days. What did that actually mean in terms of death certificates and registering her death?
Well, she was, because she, it was 23 plus 6 days, she was classed as a late miscarriage instead of a stillbirth. If she would have been born 22 hours later, I would have been able to register and she would have had her own death certificate. But a line's got to be drawn somewhere, and Petal just didn't meet the criteria. She was a day late. And if I would have had the scan a day later, she would have been stillborn, but just because of the protocol and paperwork, she's classed as the late miscarriage. So we don't have any documentation for her, legal documentation for her.
How do you feel about that?
I wish, sometimes I feel like that, because of that, because she doesn't have a death certificate, she never existed. But, you know, I had to go through the labour, I had to deliver her, and she did exist, but because I don't have anything to show, and she'll always be classed as a late miscarriage, and, you know, to me, she was stillborn, you know, I had to, you don't pick out clothes and have funeral arrangements in my, for a miscarriage. And we'd still had to do that. And I think we were just in such a grey area. Yeah, I do feel angry that she hasn't got anything. It's like she didn't exist to anyone else but us.
Can you tell me about leaving the hospital?
The following day, we waited. She had another blessing the following day in the morning. So we left the hospital at about 11 o'clock in the morning. And it was just, we signed out at the reception desk and a midwife just walked past me and like patted me on the shoulder and just said to both of us, just be kind to one another, to me and Mark. You'll need one another now more than ever. And I just remember walking out, seeing other babies, seeing balloons with baby girl, and just feeling that life's so cruel. But then also having mixed emotions because I knew I had two little boys to go home to, and other people, you know, other parents were unfortunate and didn't have that. But then feeling this guilt that I'd lost a little girl and I couldn't save her. And just, I felt so empty and so sad. I'd never experienced sadness. I'd never experienced anything like it in my life. I was shocked. And sad. And empty. I felt so empty. And my heart, I'm thinking, my heart's hurting. It was terrible.
Tell me about those first few days and weeks at home.
Probably 2 days after, I thought, right, you need to pick yourself up now, and you've got the boys to think about, just try and get on with things. And I come out of hospital on the Saturday, and then on the Monday I thought, right, I'm gonna go. We had no food in, so me and my little boy did a food shop, and I just completely broke down in Tesco's, and I had to just leave the supermarket. I had to just walk out, and I was just sobbing in the car park. And I remember thinking, how am I going to get over this? How I want my old life back, and I can't function like this. And nobody would speak to me. No one knew what to say to me. I felt like people avoided me, because they just didn't know what to say, and I didn't know how to react around people, because I didn't want them to. It was just a really strange. Obviously, I'm at the age a lot of my friends are pregnant, and I didn't want to upset anybody, but I just felt I just couldn't be around pregnant. I couldn't be around pregnant women. I didn't want to know if anyone had had a baby. I just really, really wanted to be on my own, and I just withdrew and just didn't see people for a while. I found that the only people I wanted to speak to were my bereavement midwives, who would phone just to see how I was. And I wanted to, because at that time Petal was still in the hospital, and it was really comforting to know that they were looking after her, because I was a mum and I wasn't with her. And the strangest thing was the funeral home that we picked is 5 minutes from our house. And I remember the day she went to the funeral home, I remember lying in bed at night. And my two little boys were in bed. And my little girl was in a funeral home. And I just couldn't get my head around it. The funeral home was 5 minutes and my baby was there. It was just... it was just awful. So, them 2 weeks from her dying to the funeral were just a blur. Mother's Day was in between that time, and I remember feeling so grateful for my two baby boys, but so sad that I'd lost my girl. And we went to the funeral home on Mother's Day, and I just remember thinking that life is so cruel to do this to us. But we just had to stay strong for Buddy and Matty.
Tell me about parenting Buddy and Matty at that time.
I felt like I just had to do it day to day, and I felt like I was just functioning. I remember throwing myself into activities with them, slowly trying to overcompensate. Because I hadn't felt well in the pregnancy with Petal, I wasn't as active with them. I didn't have the energy to play with them as much. And then when I lost Petal, I was just devastated. So I really, although they were so young, I really felt like they suffered because they didn't have a mum who was 100% on the ball. So, after I lost her, I made it my mission then to just do as much with them as I could. But I felt like that didn't work either, because I was exhausted at the end of the day from playing with my little boys. And then I was shattered, and I couldn't sleep at night because of Petal. It was really difficult. And I really, you know, although as young as they were, they knew something was different. They did know something was different. So it was hard. It was difficult that time.
What did you tell them?
Because he was so young at the time, I don't think they realised. It was only probably in the last 12 months that we've told them that they had a little sister who went to heaven. She's in the sky. And we bought a book that was called "We Were Going to Have a Baby, But We Had an Angel Instead." And they got their head round it a little bit and knew that their little sister Petal's in heaven, and they've got the concept of it more in the past 12 months, and they know that they think that Petal sent Daisy to us from heaven.
Tell me what it was like telling friends and family.
I was just, I didn't even think about it. I just had to, luckily, my parents did a lot, told a lot of people. I just phoned my mum and said that the baby had died. So it was really my mum that told the family, and Mark's mum, and I just told my closest friends, who then told other people, because I couldn't handle saying the same thing over and over again. And I just had to just say that the baby's died. Can you just let people know And they were really understanding, but they was just, like I said, I didn't connect with them for a while. Certain people I didn't connect with, because I was, and I felt they distanced themselves because they didn't know how to react to me or what to say. And I wanted to talk about her. I wanted to say her name. And even now, I think it's only ever me who says a name. Especially because we've gone on to have a little girl. I think a lot of the time people think, oh, well, you've got your little girl now. You know, let's forget what happened because you've got what you wanted in the end. And it isn't like that. It was difficult telling. It was difficult telling friends and family, but I think they found it more difficult than me because I did want to talk about her, and they didn't because they thought it upset me. When the thing that upset me is not talking about her.
How did you and Mark grieve?
I think we did it separately. And I feel like I pushed him away because obviously Mark's a breadwinner. And as much as he was grieving and he wanted to shut himself away, he had to work. He had to go and he had to earn the money for the family. And I, at the time, just thought, oh, he's getting back to normal, he's going to work now, he's forgotten about it, he just wants us to move on. And I was awful to him, because I couldn't, he was going out with friends or anything, and I was thinking, how can you just act like nothing's happened? How can you do that? But I think Matt, you know, he was dealing with it in his own way, but he was very private, whereas I found comfort in going to support groups. But then once you go to a few, I got scared then because it kind of becomes the norm. People just talking about these babies that have died, and that was getting just too much for me, especially when I wanted to try again for another baby. I didn't want to surround myself with, I didn't want to hear all these different stories of what's happened. But initially I needed to speak to parents who've been through what we've been through. But Mark just wasn't, he didn't think it was for him, which I understand. But yeah, I joined SANS. But then when I knew I wanted to try again, I just thought that this isn't the place to come because it wouldn't have helped my anxiety in subsequent pregnancies.
Were you offered counselling and support?
Yeah. Within 10, I think about 10 days after I had Petal, there was a lady who phoned me from SANS, the bereavement support team, and she on the phone to me for 2 hours telling me about the son that she lost like 40 years ago, and saying she was really interested in Petal. She remembered her name. She'd constantly refer to Petal, which was really nice for me to hear because everyone thought if anyone mentions Petal's name that I'm gonna be upset. So I really found comfort in the speaking to the lady from SANS, and then from that I did go to the monthly meetings, which was a massive help for me at the time. Mark was invited as well, but he didn't think it was for him.
Do you know who arranged for somebody from SANS to call you?
it was a bereavement midwives at the hospital. The day that we left, after we found out that Petal had died, before I had her, we were given an information booklet with all support helplines, numbers, and advice of what to do when a baby died. It was actually called what happens when your baby dies before birth. So they gave me the book. I didn't read it straight away, but obviously over the following weeks I did, and I found it really helpful.
You mentioned that you had a funeral for Petal. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, we decided that we didn't want it to be, we wanted it to be really personal for me and Mark, and just make it about me, Mark and Petal. We didn't think it was appropriate for the boys to be there because they were so young. So it was just me, Mark and Petal, and our local rector from church. He came to our house. He was amazing. He was brilliant. He came to our house, went through the funeral service, and talked about Petal and what we would have wanted for her if she would have lived. And it was really hard going through passages, funeral passages, really, of stillborn. It was really hard having to look at sheets of paper with different orders of service. It was just, I couldn't. When he left, I just started doing a little bit of my own research, and I found a really nice little poem called Snowdrop, which had it's like a poem about a flower not blooming and petals falling too soon. And I thought, that's the one we're gonna have, that's definitely the one that we're gonna have for our little girl. And I found lots of comfort in picking the music, because I wanted to make it really personal to me and Mark as well. So I really felt like I had, take Buddy and Matty out of the picture, arranging the funeral, I felt like I had a purpose, and I, strangely enough, felt so much comfort in phoning the funeral home and saying, "Hello, I'm Amy, I'm Petal's mum," because I knew I'd never say that again. And I cherish them, that, because it, someone acknowledged that I was her mum. So I found a lot of comfort in going to the funeral home and holding her in a little casket, because I couldn't do it at the hospital, but I got the courage to hold her and sing to her and talk to her at the funeral home. I found that really, really helpful. And they're memories that I'll cherish as well. And they were, the funeral home were fantastic with me and with Mark.
How did you feel about getting pregnant again and having more children?
I knew I wanted to get pregnant. I felt like something had been taken from me, and I wanted to have another baby. So luckily for us, we lost Petal in the February, but I was pregnant again by the September. And I was, as much as I was over the moon, nothing prepared for the anxiety of a subsequent pregnancy following the loss of a baby. So we were really nervous I went, and when I went for my scan at 12 weeks, I was so nervous, like, because the last time I lay down for an ultrasound, someone told me that my baby had died. So I was really, really anxious. But then we discovered we were having twins. So it was shock mixed with anxiety, because I knew I was already high risk, because of what happened to Petal. And having twins, obviously, I was high risk again. So, yeah, I was really anxious during my pregnancy, my fourth pregnancy.
Can you tell me a bit more about that, how it manifested itself?
Yeah, so when I discovered I was pregnant, the first thing I did was phone the bereavement midwives again. And then I was under the care... so I was under the care of them, and they were fantastic. I was pregnant with twins at my 12-week scan, and then I had a scan at 18 weeks, and unfortunately one of the twins had died. So from me already being anxious, it just hit another level, because I was scanned then every 3-4 weeks, and I was just convinced I was going to lose my baby again. And I felt like, as a coping mechanism, I couldn't bond with the baby, because I was just so convinced I was going to lose the baby. So in all these scans, I just couldn't look at the screen. I'd look at a board which had all the extension numbers of the hospital, and I'd just memorize them during the scan, because I didn't want to listen. I didn't want to look. I just wanted to get in and get out of the room. It was really, really, it was so hard. It was so mentally tiring. And again, I just felt guilty because I had two little boys to look after. And this uncertain anxiety, this anxiety was happening again, and I had no control over it. And again, I had no control over the outcome of my pregnancy. Naively, you think you have got control over it, and you haven't. Yeah, it was a really anxious time.
Tell me about parenting Buddy and Matty at that time.
Well, I didn't feel as ill as when I was pregnant with Petal. They were more aware that mummy was having a baby. There was a baby in mummy's belly. And I did involve them a little bit more. And I didn't give myself too much of a hard time. If we didn't go out, if we just stayed in and watched the telly. I found I was more laid back with them. And I looked after myself better than I had done with Petal. I'd go to bed earlier, and you know, if the house wasn't done, and that was fine. And I did feel like I did involve the boys more in the pregnancy than I did with Petal. They had a little bit more understanding.
Were you offered additional antenatal care and support during that pregnancy?
Yeah. Yes. I was under the care of the clinic, and it was amazing. I had scans every 3 weeks. So I had growth scans every 3 weeks, and then I had heparin injections as well during the pregnancy. So I would probably be at the hospital on average every fortnight, and any concerns I had, any worries, I'd literally phone, tell them what was wrong, and I'd go in. If I felt like I had reduced movement, I'd go in and be scanned. And I was really anxious about the delivery, knowing that I had to, although I'd lost the twin at 18 weeks, I had to carry the twin the full term. And I was petrified of having to deliver another baby that had died. So the consultant and the midwives were amazing, and I opted for and they agreed for a planned cesarean section, which really helped with my anxiety and worry. So we just felt like it was the whole pregnancy and labour was planned, and I knew what was coming, and it helped me and Mark immensely to deal with it too, again, because although we did, and I had a little girl, which was amazing, and it was so bittersweet because I was back on that labour ward, and although I'd had my little baby girl and she was healthy and she was alive, I also went back to the bereavement suite where we'd lost again. So it was mixed emotions during the labour.
Can you tell me about meeting meeting Daisy at that point?
I was just, I actually thought that because I'd lost Petal, and then because I'd lost another baby, Daisy's twin, and we never found out the sex of the babies, I thought that I couldn't carry the old wives' tale of I couldn't carry girls, and I was just convinced that Daisy was a boy. So when the, even just before I had the section, the consultant said, would you want us to tell you the sex, or do you want us to lift the baby up so you can see? And I said, Mark said, can we see ourselves first? And then when they said, you've had a girl, I was just, Mark said, it's a girl. And I was like, no, it can't be Mark, it's not. And she was, it was just the most amazing experience of my life. I can't put it into words, that the feeling of relief that it was over, and then knowing that she was a girl, but Daisy was taken away to be weighed and washed, and Mark went with her. And I do remember everything was really quiet again in the delivery in the theatre, because the twin was being delivered, and then it takes you right back to Petal.
Can you tell me what happened next?
We went back to the ward. We had our own room on the ward with Daisy, and again, I didn't want to see the twin. I reacted the same way I did with Petal, and I said, I think I couldn't handle any more emotion that day. But the twin that had died, the bereavement midwives arranged for a blessing for the twin, and Mark went to see the twin. Obviously, it had been a further 22 weeks since they'd found out that the twin had died, so we didn't know the sex of the twin. And a lot of the placenta was, it was difficult to tell the baby from the placenta. But Mark went, and they had a blessing. And Mark spent some time there while I stayed with Daisy.
How do you feel about all of that time now?
That was my way of protecting myself. I just don't think I couldn't have dealt with it. The next day, it was really difficult. Obviously, it was a really busy, it was a Saturday the following day. It was really busy. So I was walking around the ward with Petal, with Daisy. And we were walking to the bereavement suite again, and you could see people looking, thinking, why are they going there? They've got a baby. Why are they going? And you'd rather not give people eye contact than have to explain. And I also felt really guilty for not, we had a remembering service at the church, cemetery, for the twin, and we took Daisy with us because Daisy was so much part of it. We didn't take the boys, but Daisy was obviously newborn. And I remember being in the crematorium and other mothers, especially the mothers, looking at me because I was there with a baby, and I felt like they think I shouldn't be here, but I've lost a baby too. And when I collected the ashes of the twin, it was really, really, really difficult. Because it felt so much more informal than Petals, because it was a group cremation. It wasn't just like Petals was a service and she was cremated, whereas our twin was part of a group. And I just like the reality of everything just hit me, and I was like, God, it's just awful to have to do this again. I never want to do this again.
Mm-hmm. How has Petal affected your life now?
I feel like it was a before and after moment. I feel like I'll never it's changed me, can massively change me on every aspect. It changed mine and Mark's relationship. It changed the way I am a mother to my children. I have anxiety now, which I didn't realise from before Petal. It's losing a baby. You never ever get over it. You never. And I there's some days where it just hits you that I can't believe I went through that. I can't believe that happened to us. Things like that don't happen to us. I think that it's just a defining moment in our lives. And I actually feel I have post-traumatic stress since then. And now you always, because such a bad thing happened, I expect bad things to happen more than I did before I had her.
Before Petal, what did you know? What was your awareness of sort of babies dying before they're born?
I didn't really. I was ignorant towards it. I probably had more knowledge on cot death than stillbirth. I didn't really know anything about stillbirth. You'd hear the stories of traumatic labours and the baby died with, you know, if there was with a cord around the neck or some, you know. But what happened to me, where you're just carrying your baby, and you do think after 12 weeks, if you've had that scan and everything's okay, you breathe a sigh of relief and all right, okay, everything's going to be all right. And I was so ignorant to problems in pregnancy and things going wrong. I didn't know anything. Other than if there was problems in the actual labour.
You're a nurse. Did having that medical background, you know, what was it like having that medical background going through everything you went through?
Sometimes I think ignorance is bliss, because if you have got knowledge, you will, if you've got knowledge and anxiety, you will massively overthink. So every twinge with Daisy, every pain I had, you just think the worst. And even logically, you know, there'll be X, Y, and Z why this could happen. You will think, no, I'm going to lose this baby. So I, having the knowledge there, it was very, it was tough and tiring because you just think things are going to go wrong. But then also, it's a relief in a way as well, because I set myself goals, right? I'll get past 12 weeks, I'll get past 14 weeks. And as every scan went, and then I started hearing that the baby was growing, you sort of like start relaxing a little bit, thinking, all right, well, come on now, you know that this will be, you know this can be done if the baby's delivered now, you know what can happen. You know, things might not be as bad as what you think. And when we opted for a planned C-section, I was really adamant that, I wanted it on a weekday where the hospital's well staffed, and I didn't want it to be rushed in the middle of the night where there could be doctors that are on call and no one knowing my history. And that was one of the things that I really wanted to specify, which helped my anxiety, because obviously I know how I've got an idea of how hospitals are run, and what can happen when things go wrong.
How do you remember Petal now? Do you have mementos or?
We Mark took pictures of Petal, of her hands and her feet. But I, maybe it's because I knew I wanted another baby, but I didn't. It took me a long time to look at them and see them. He took a picture of the doll that we gave her when she was born, which I've now got, and I cherish it because it's stained a little bit with her blood. But that to me makes her more real. She did. She lived. She didn't live, but she lived inside me. And we have her ashes with our twin as well. And people think that, you know, there'll be a time when you'll want to scatter them, but I'm quite happy having them with me. I just don't. I don't feel like I need to scatter them. People asked us as well. Would you not prefer it to be buried? And I thought if I had to bury her, I'd never leave. I could never walk away knowing that that's where she is. I'd rather just have her knowing that she's here with us. And then we have her blanket. And then I've kept this some parts of my maternity notes as well, which I have. Just all it is just the folder. But that's what I had when she was alive. And that's all I have of Petal.
What do you think it's important for people to know about this experience?
Just that it happens, it's happening all the time. Take the support that's available in the hospital. If you are, if any of your friends have ever experienced it, don't shy away and not talk about it, because in my experience that doesn't help with the grief, because people can't go through this on their own, and if they want to talk about it, they should be allowed to talk about it. It's their baby. It shouldn't be brushed under the carpet. It shouldn't be forgotten. And it's as much, Petal is as much a child of mine as Buddy, Matty and Daisy are, as our twinnies that we lost, that they are much a part of our lives as any of our children. The whole experience of having lost a child, it shouldn't be a taboo thing, and people should be allowed to discuss it and talk about it and not feel that it's wrong to do so. Because I felt like that. I felt like I can't say anything because I don't want to upset people and no one wants to hear about it.
How has the experience affected you or changed your attitudes to things? Or
I am more cautious than I was. I think it's made me just appreciate my children. Even if you're having the really bad days with them, you know, they're here, and just take the time out just to spend with them, even doing nothing, just to be with them. And they grow up so fast, and you don't, like Daisy's 8 months now, and it's gone. If I think back when I was pregnant, 8 months leading up to me having her felt like a lifetime because I was so anxious, and now it's just gone in a blink of an eye, and she's fat, you know, she's amazing. But yeah, it's definitely like this experience has changed me and changed Mark. Defining moment in our lives.
Is there anything you feel particularly proud of or regret at all?
I do regret not holding her physically enough, not kissing her goodbye. Letting the midwives take her away. I wish I would have spent more time, but I was just scared. I was just petrified of what was happening to my body, and I had no control over it. I didn't know what to expect, and I was scared of seeing my baby like that. I was scared of what she'd look like, what she'd feel like. Then I am proud of both me and Mark of trying again and going, as much as it was hard, going for the scans and finding out that we'd lost again. But just, I mean, we had to do it. That was the only thing we could do. But how it was real, it was such a difficult time in our life. But we did it, and then we've got Daisy now.
Is there anything that you'd like to pass on to other bereaved parents?
I would say you've got to give yourself time. I mean, we're still grieving. We're never going to stop grieving. But yeah, just be kind to one another, because you'll both experience different things on different days. And just because one day one of you feels, we can move forward a little bit, we can start planning, that doesn't mean that they're not still grieving. It just, you're going to do it in your own time, and just talk. There are people out there you can speak to, talk to each other. Don't keep things bottled up, because it turns into resentment after a while. And I think you can get so caught up in your own grief of what you've experienced, especially the mothers, what you experienced because it was your body and you had to go through that. I think that dads just are left, they've forgotten about. When in my experience, although I delivered Petal, it was Mark who had to deal with her, because it was taken, he took that off me, because I couldn't deal with that, and I never ever gave him the credit for that. And he was my rock, he is my rock. And at the time, when you're just so caught up in your own grief, you don't realise that other people are grieving, not just your partner, but your family as well. They've lost, like my parents lost a granddaughter, Mark's parents lost a granddaughter, Buddy and Matty lost a sister. And I think grief can be selfish and that's fine, but you have got to realise it affects other people.
Is there anything else that you feel you haven't had an opportunity to say?
One of the things is, since I lost Petal, I felt that people pitied me because of that experience. But that isn't, you know, I don't want to be defined that I'm the mother who lost a child. And I'm also a mother of three healthy children as well, who just wants to say, you know, that there is help. There's help out there for bereaved parents to carry on. And, you know, even if it's not, some parents may not want to have another child because of their loss, but there is so much help and support out there if you did want to go on to have a subsequent pregnancy. My personal experience with my midwives and our consultant that took us, that was under under his care, it was amazing, and having Daisy has been an amazing experience as well.